show. Enjoy the show. Enjoy the show. Enjoy the show. Enjoy the show. Lights, camera, action.
Episode 10. I can't believe we made it to double digits.
Dude, that's crazy. Nice. I know.
Number.
I haven't missed a week. Well, 10.
Are we live?
Yeah, we're live now.
Oh, nice.
Are we live?
Yeah, we're live.
Yeah, perfect.
But yeah, last week, episode 9, Brandon, you ran into some car troubles. You couldn't make it. But what happened? I know that you have this crazy story you want to tell us, and I'm excited to hear
I've never heard this story, too.
It's a really annoying story. last Thursday, one of the reasons why I wasn't on the podcast last week, this lady comes in to my office or my work office, and she's like got a head full of steam, and she comes in and she's like, "Yo, you guys need to pay me my money, or I'm gonna shut off your power." And my boss is out of town. We're like, "What the hell?" You know, you know. And so Lisa, who works the front desk, she gets on the phone with him really quickly, and with my boss, who's in New Jersey right now. And he's like, "No, this lady's a fraud. You know, we pay our bills on time. We've been paying our bills every month for 19 years, you know, and we've never missed a payment. So I don't know what this lady's talking about. She's a fraud." And the lady's like, "So are you going to pay me now, or I'm going to shut off your power?" And so what happened was he called her bluff, and she shut off the power.
To the work building?
To our entire work building. And
oh my goodness.
Yeah, this lady was wearing, you know, SDG&E apparel, but it just seemed really fishy because they got no notifications, no emails,
and
nothing.
And that's not usually how they take care of that. You don't have somebody knocking on your door saying, cut me a check.
And then after one month, you know, so shut off the power, and we're all just like, this is like at, you know, 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning. So the day's kind of...
And that was last week, the heat wave week. It was warm.
Yeah. And so we're all kind of like gathered around the office, and we're like, "Well, what do we do?" You know? And, the secretaries are getting on the phone with Frank, my boss, and they're going back and forth, and they're trying to get the bill. They're trying to figure out what the hell's going on. And it turns out that he did forget to pay the bill. And all this time he's like, "No, you know, it's fraud," and all this other stuff. So that was actually pretty funny. But, so they're going back and forth, and we're not sure if we're going to have power for the rest of the day, you know, because it takes time, because the lady shut it off and left, you know. And she actually had the worst attitude possible. And that also doesn't make it any better. But it was almost like, "I'm going to shut off your power. I got a list of people I got to shut off their power for." And so anyways, one of my buddies at work, his tire blew out, you know, a couple days before. And I was like, how about I drop you off at the tire spot? You can get your tire fixed, you know, we'll go grab like a nice bite to eat. And so that's what we do. I drop his tire off at Discount Tire over there on Mission Gorge over there. And then
not a fan, Ryan.
Not a fan.
We'll talk about it later next week's podcast.
So what we do is we start driving. We're like, "Hey, you know, I'm craving like a nice salad from Lazy Dog. You know, the salads are really good. They got me hooked after, you know." So
did you feel good just saying that right now?
I felt really good saying that.
Okay.
Well, anyway, so I
look skinny.
I pull up on on that road. I think it's Camino del Rio.
Yeah.
So we park over there, grab a bite to eat. I come back to my car, stick my key in, I try to turn it, and you know, nothing's happening. The dash is lighting up, but nothing else is happening.
It's not trying to, you know, choke and turn.
Yeah,
over.
You know, normally it sounds like the battery's like trying to the car's trying to start up. So nothing was happening, and it's baking hot. It was so hot that day, and I have these cars flying down the road, and I'm just burning up. I'm dripping with sweat, and I'm trying to crank it. I'm like, "What the hell is going on with my car?" You know, and I have a 2014 Mercedes Benz, so my car should
way
be
to brag.
My car should be running fine, is what I'm saying, and so What ended up happening is my buddy was like, hey, how about this? Let's just take an Uber over to the tire place. I've had it in the past where, you know, I've had gunk get stuck onto like the key fob from when I was like, you know, serving or anything like that. All it takes is a little bit and it messes up that electrical connection on the key. So I was trying to scrape off whatever was on there, but there was nothing on there. And I was like, I was getting frustrated over it. And so we end up driving or you end up getting an Uber over to the discount tire spot. He drops me off at my dad's shop. We grab my dad's spare key for the car, drive back over to Lazy Dog where my car is and grab the spare key, stick it in. Same problem. Like, what the hell is going on? You know? And so I asked the dude, I'm like, Andy, yo, can you drop me off at my house? I'm going to try to take care of this later tonight, you know? And, he's like, yeah, sure, because he didn't have, like, jumper cables or anything like that on him. And so, and I don't have any on my car, actually, which is something I should definitely invest in now. So anyways, I hit up my dad. I'm like, hey, after you're done with work, you know, can we stop by my car? We can try to jump it, see what's wrong with the car. So we end up doing that. This is, like, at, like, 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. And, you know, we hook it up to the jumper and – same thing, nothing's happening, and we're just
no power.
Nothing's going on. We're like, well, maybe a fuse blew or something, which would make no sense because you know, like my car is working perfectly fine. Usually for a fuse to blow, there's some energy source that's blowing it up. So, you know, we end up trying to hook it up or checking everything out, and we're looking and, you know, we're like, well, maybe one of the, maybe like the ignition fuse blew or something like that. And so we're like looking it up and like, well, where the hell's the ignition fuse on this Mercedes? And they're built into like the battery assembly. So it's like a huge, huge production to like, to replace it.
Yeah.
And so,
well, I mean, it couldn't be too bad. For the people that don't know, Brandon's dad owns Smitty's mechanic shop over on Adams Avenue. So
my dad's a mechanic. He knows what he's doing. However, you know, this is 8 o'clock at night and it's on a dark road now. My car had to get towed to Smitty's, my dad's shop. And then I remember I was just like really just like bummed out because this is something just came out of the blue.
Yeah.
Brandon gets pissed off, man.
I was pissed off. That day was not I was not happy that day.
Incredible Hulk comes
and
out.
So what happened is, you know, my sister, she has two cars and she's been she's loaned me her Kia Optima that she has. And my sister, she's one of the messiest people I know. That car was disgusting. I spent all Saturday cleaning it out. But, well, anyways, that's aside from the point. Well, anyways, my dad, he, on Friday, they were trying to figure out what is going on with the car. And so they end up, like, talking to a few people, and they come to the conclusion that somebody was trying to steal my car and that they overloaded the power on my car, and it blew the So what ended up happening is apparently the part that we need for my car is only available at the dealership. So my car had to get towed from my dad's shop over to the dealership to get worked on. And so then I just got a call yesterday from the dealership saying like, hey, you know, we're going to need to keep the car for an extra 2-3 days while the part comes. So you'll probably have your car next week. And I'm like, this is a week and a half just for this stupid thing because somebody thought they could steal a 2014 Mercedes-Benz, and all new cars nowadays are going to have low jack on it.
Yeah.
So you're not lifting a new car.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just not happening nowadays. So,
that's crazy. That took a turn I did not see coming.
We're still waiting to hear back from them. But luckily, my car, that was actually covered under the extended warranty on my car.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's good.
So I scored huge there, which is more of a security thing. But yeah, that was like, this is 11 o'clock in the afternoon.
In front of a restaurant
with the high traffic volume.
Yeah, on
of
a busy
cars.
Street.
Yeah, and somebody is trying to lift a 2014. It doesn't make sense to me, but honestly, that's the only thing that would make sense because nothing else is going to overload the battery like that, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Nothing's going to.
So that was, you know, I'm still driving my sister's Kia. I'll be driving until next week. So Yeah, a lot of fun.
Well, you were always a Blake Griffin fan, so.
Yeah, that's true. Go. But yeah, that was my eventful Thursday.
Well, still, it's ongoing too.
Yeah, and I mean, luckily, it's not gonna really hit me too hard financially, but it just sucks. Yeah, I just missed my car more than anything. So
yeah, dude, going from a Mercedes to a Kia really sucks, Brandon.
hey.
I know. We need a counter for how many times Brandon tried to humbly brag about his 2014 Mercedes.
I'm just saying it's a new car. Somebody's trying to steal it.
all white with the leather interior.
But it's just a bummer that somebody, you know, being stupid cost me, you know. And it's, but,
well,
you know,
at
that's
least you're
going to
get your car back
out.
And it's going to be good. So
that's right.
That's a positive. They didn't get it.
They didn't get it.
It's not going to cost you as much. At least it's covered under
Plus,
warranty.
It's got to keep your mind at ease now, knowing that if anybody tries to steal your car, it's.
Yeah.
It makes it a lot harder.
We'll hunt you down.
Yeah. Almost wish they try to steal my, or they stole my car so I can just run it on the insurance and then the guy would go to jail or something. At least you get punished for it.
Yeah, there's crooks out there. I'm not going to get all of them.
That's crazy, man. Well, yeah, I just flew in from Houston. I was out there for work for 4 days. That was all right. Houston was not that hot. Everyone was saying, like, oh, Houston's so hot and humid and stuff. It was like it was here, dude. But the thing that sucked there, so my new thing lately is when I start drinking a lot, I write notes down in my phone because I know I'm going to forget them later. So I'm like, write my thoughts down right then. Don't look at me like that.
No,
dude.
That makes sense.
I got to write them down. I'll forget them. Anyways,
where your most creative thoughts come.
From my phone, I was reading them earlier, so I know off the top of my head. But from my phone, I took away two things. Everyone in Texas just lives in AC. Like, I was never outside in fresh air. It was like hotel AC, car AC, office AC. You know, it was horrible. No fresh air. The second thing was everyone had small heads.
inside your mind.
No, I get what you're saying, but I'm saying it's
on
like
the sports now, not talking about people's small heads anymore.
Sorry, we digress.
Yeah, we.
Anyways, so this week in the NFL, it was week 2, 3 preseason.
So technically the second actual week in preseason.
Okay.
The first Hall of Fame games.
I know we'll get into more about what was going on in those games, but I did catch one game. Well, I watched the Charger game, unfortunately, with you at your house. And then I caught another game while I was in Texas. But apparently there was a new kickoff rule. I was so removed from the NFL, I didn't even know that this went into effect. Apparently the new rule is the kickoff team can only start 1 yard behind the ball. So there's no running starts, you know, like they used to start.
Dude, it's all irrelevant. The kickoff rule, I mean, they're kicking in the end zone all the time now. I mean, kickoffs have become irrelevant. Yeah. Basically, you have to bank on a kicker
being able to kick through the
end zone. No. Well, I mean, as on the kickoff return team, you have to bank on the fact that the kicker might not kick it as far in the end zone. I mean, and now the fact that if you kneel, you get it at the 25-yard line is a huge game changer. So most of the teams, you just see kneeling on the kickoff.
I think the only reason why they're keeping it around is probably for onside kicks.
Yeah,
that's
a huge part of the game. Absolutely. I don't think they'll ever actually get rid of it, but they're trying to. I mean, so many injuries happen on kickoff. You have guys running full speed.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, yeah.
It's also.
I just thought it was interesting that they tried to change it again.
The height of my excitement was, you know, watching, like, Devin Hester return that ball. Even, you know, remember Antonio Cromartie had that, whatever it counted as 111 yards or whatever.
109.3. Yeah, when he caught it from.
Yeah, he, like, caught it behind the.
Yeah. No, man, it's an exciting play. I've always thought punt returns are a little bit more exciting than kick returns anyways. It shows how athletic the returner is. With kick returns, a lot of it can be
blocking,
one guy falling down and an angle opens up and they just take off down the sideline. But I've always found punt returns to be more exciting than kick returns in general. But it's something, obviously, when you think of players like Deion Sanders, Devin Hester, some of those really great kickoff returners, it's a bummer to see it go away, but at the same time, it is a step in the right direction for players.
Yeah, definitely it makes it safer. And being with these whole safer rules, I do think they did a great job this second week with the new hit rule. I thought there was a lot of times where you know, I saw him pick up the flag a few times.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought that was good.
And we talked about that last week. It's a learning curve for a lot of these referees. And as long as it's getting ironed out in the first 4 weeks with preseason, I'm okay with it. You're still seeing some pretty bad calls. There was the one at the Charger game where the guy clearly went in with his shoulder, and then the receiver went down with his head, and it looked like the defender at that point was leading with his helmet, when in fact that wasn't what he was doing. And we're going to see that a lot. I think, again, like we talked about last week, until they get on the college rules where they review each personal foul to be able to see if they need to pick up the flag, you're going to see a lot of ticked off fans.
Yeah. Other news, the Jalen Ramsey thing. I thought that was hilarious.
So Jalen Ramsey went on the media this week talking about all these quarterbacks, as far as Eli Manning, Joe Flacco. I mean, he went after Josh Allen, the rookie from Buffalo, saying that he's trash.
He went after basically every QB.
It was funny because
there was like five or six missing, but still.
Even Eli Manning, he said he's not bad. Odell's just better. And the thing that I love about this is that receivers and corners are supposed to be the cockiest sons of bitches on the field at all times.
Yeah,
especially your corner.
Especially
your
corner,
and,
yeah.
I mean, Jalen Ramsey, I mean, he can mouth off as much as he wants, in my opinion. He proved last year that he is the best corner in the NFL.
I'd agree with that.
And you see him, I mean, like somebody on ESPN today, he's an alien. I mean, they don't make players that long and that fast and that great a vision. I mean, he's a player of his age. I mean, you won't see another player like this for years. And I think he's just baiting these quarterbacks to go after him. I think he wants it. I think he wants to get in these players' heads to be like, hey, challenge me. I dare you.
Yeah.
Because he's not playing against the quarterback. He's playing against the corner, or he's playing against the wide receiver.
Yeah.
And he knows, hey, I'm going to bait these quarterbacks into throwing the ball my way, and I'm going to own them.
Yeah. I mean, Josh Norman in practice was saying the same thing. He's like, well, you get these rookie quarterbacks that come in, you want to test them, you want to bait them. And
in my opinion, he didn't. I mean, obviously, some of the words he used. This is opinion. He's obviously entitled to it, and it'll tick off some people, and you'll see some people go after him. I mean, I wouldn't throw his direction. I mean, he's a shutdown corner, but, I mean, he talked about Matt Ryan being overrated, and you think about the term overrated, and you think about this derogatory term, like this person's valued more than he should be. You know, Matt Ryan was a, you know, NFC championship quarterback. He was the MVP of the league that year.
Should have won a World Super Bowl.
Yeah, and, you know, they're up, you know, you'll see it forever, 24-7, or 24-3. And he's not wrong. I mean, you look at what Matt Ryan has shown with the ability that he possesses and the weapons that he's had. I mean, gosh, Devontae Freeman, Tevin Coleman, Julio Jones, Mohamed Sanu.
I'm surprised you listed Julio like fourth there.
Well, I mean, and Julio's obviously the best out of those. He's a guy that can literally do everything. He's a combination of Randy Moss and Terrell Owens. He can go over the middle. He can go down the field. I mean, the dude put up more than 300 yards receiving one game.
He's a physical beast. I think maybe his hands need a little bit of work.
So yeah, but he's a specimen. But I mean, again, another player where it's just like he's a freak. And Matt Ryan, till this day, I mean, he won the MVP based off the fact that Tom Brady was suspended for four games. That's why he won. I mean, you can argue with me that till you're blue in the face, but Tom Brady was having a better year. You know, if you add four more games to that, he's back-to-back MVP of the league. And if you're paying a player that much money, then yeah, absolutely, I would agree he's overrated. So I don't think he was wrong about anything. You know, calling Josh Allen trash, I mean, the dude hasn't played in a real game yet.
Yeah.
So.
That's probably not fair.
Well, I think he's calling these people out.
Yeah,
he just went after him to kind of bait him, like you said.
Yeah.
But I also thought it was funny that he got suspended for going after that reporter. You hear about that? There was
a
fight. The two defensive ends at Jaguars training camp got into a fight, and he said, nobody released this video. All the reporters put their phones down and stuff. And then on Twitter, when the video came out, he was like, told that guy that took it, was like, you messed up, man. You're going to, like, you started a war, and then they suspended him. So, I personally like that move from him.
Yeah.
I think that was, you know, that's just being a leader.
Absolutely.
Being like, don't show, this is not something we want to show the public. You know, fights happen inside the family.
Yeah.
But it stays inside the family.
And I mean, it's preseason. Do you see fights every single practice?
And there should be. These guys
it's an aggressive sport. It is a violent sport.
And they're at the top of their level. Everyone wants to start. Everyone's hungry.
And everybody wants to win.
Yeah, you just want that competition. And at the end of the day, you know, they're still teammates. They don't really hate each other. It's just,
they're brothers, man. I mean, they'll go back in the room. But, hey, man, you know.
Sorry I said that. Yeah. You know, I was heated. You're playing great. Yeah. I'm just trying to beat you, you know.
No, absolutely. And obviously you see some friction between certain players sometimes. And a lot of times those players aren't on the same team for an extended period of time. But, I mean, we're talking about Dante Fowler, and who has still got a lot to prove in the NFL, but has the potential to be a solid player. And, you know, Jalen Ramsey's just being like, yo, we were in the AFC Championship game last year. We still got a lot to do. We all need to put in work. And, you know, kind of diving back into Jalen Ramsey's comments about a lot of these players, it's not stuff that he's not afraid to say to people's faces. I mean, he's chapping at people the whole game.
I love corners that just
– I do, too. I like watching
– You have to have the mental edge over these receivers.
My favorite quarterback or cornerbacks are the ones that don't wear their mouthpiece.
Yeah, they're just sitting there talking
crap. Those are my favorite ones. You see – you name them. If they don't have a mouthpiece in, they're one of my favorites. They're just always chirping these guys, and I think it's the best.
Well, it's like with Revis and Sherman kind of toning it down, you need somebody to kind of take that mantle.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a – I mean, the Jaguars have an elite defense.
Oh, yeah.
They have
– and they're primed to go.
Arguably the best defense in the NFL. They are, in my opinion, a quarterback away from being a Super Bowl champion. If Bortles shows up this year and even plays slightly better than he did in the previous, then you're looking at a team that can beat the New England Patriots. Their defense is that good. And he's got to be a leader, and he's got to show people, like, hey, we don't take lift from anybody. We're dishing it out. We're here to shut people down. And that's, you know, they have a lot to prove. I mean, on paper, the statistics from last year, the fact that they're a young core, they should be progressing. So, I mean, all the power to that guy. Say what you got to say. Get in these people's head. But that's my I think he's just
– I agree.
I think he's baiting people.
You know, I totally agree with you.
Come after me.
I think the NFL,
you
know, every sport needs that bad guy.
Yeah.
You know, that person that plays that
bad
boy
role.
I mean,
gosh, we learned that with the Mighty Ducks as a kid, man.
Oh, yeah.
You got to have the Bash Brothers out there.
As long as your goalie doesn't get arrested for meth charges.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh. I know, Brandon. Oh. That's not him. I was like,
That was
not Goldberg. Sure that can't be Goldberg.
That was horrible. But, yeah, Ryan, you're more of our resident NFL expert. You got anything else for us before we move on?
Before we get off into talking about some of the rookies, I wanted to jump in and talk about this Corey Coleman trade that happened earlier in, I think, last week.
Yeah.
Or later in last week.
If you guys aren't watching the HBO Hard Knocks,
this Browns one's good.
It didn't start out good. There's definitely been better ones in the past. The Texans one was easily by far the best one.
I love the Texans one.
The first episode sucks. I definitely thought the team was soft. Coming into the second episode, they showed a lot of drive and a lot of, like, teamwork.
Well, and the thing is, too, is you see where the Browns are failing.
Yeah.
That's the part that's interesting about it to me, is if you're a football fan and you've noticed that the Browns have only won one game in the last 2 years.
Isn't it 3 years, I think, isn't it?
No, it's the last 2 years. They're 1-31.
Yeah, the last team they beat were the Chargers.
No, I remember that, but didn't they go 0-16 the year before that?
No.
No. Oh,
I can't remember what their record was, but they weren't the worst team in the NFL.
In that second episode.
Yeah, so Corey Coleman walks into Hugh Jackson's office and he says, you know, why am I running second team reps? I'm like, and Hugh Jackson says, you know, go talk to Coach Haley. And before we even get into that, I mean, if your head coach is saying, you know, passing the baton onto an assistant, that's one problem right there. And we got into it last week about Hugh Jackson, the fact that the man should not have a head coaching job in the NFL right now. There's no way you win one game in the last 2 years and you deserve a job. You know, go be an assistant somewhere, earn your way back, but they're not in a good place. And so they traded him for a 7th-round pick. You know, they had that conversation.
And he was one of the first-round picks,
yeah. So that leaves the Browns with no first-round picks on their current roster as of 2016. You look at that and you think about some of the players that have come out in the first round over the last few years, you know, looking at the Chargers with Joey Bosa, looking at the Texans with Deshaun Watson, looking at the Eagles with Carson Wentz. There's been phenomenal talent coming out of there, and they've been in positions to draft every single one of those players, and they don't have a single player left on their roster as of the 2016 draft. And I mean, Corey Coleman, he had some injury issues. He had that terrible drop, or non-catch at the end of the last year where they could have won one game. A lot of talent there, but it just shows the impatience that the Browns are having with, how bad they are. And, now they're putting all their faith in Jarvis Landry. Now they're putting all their faith in Josh Gordon, who has been irrelevant in the league for the last couple of years. And now they're, talking about bringing in a player like Dez Bryant. I mean, you cannot be a successful NFL organization if you do not develop your players. So now they only have, one-year rookies, Myles Garrett, who, again, shows at times that he's not as hardworking as people thought he would have been.
I mean, he's a physical beast overall, extremely talented guy.
But
he doesn't
physical ability only gets you so far.
I love watching Hard Knocks because it does give you that inside look into the football organization, like you said. And they always highlight players till you see these certain players and what their style is. And they went through this thing with Myles Garrett, and he loves writing poetry. And I get it. That's great.
Beautiful.
Expand your mind. Lovely. Keep yourself thinking. Be artistic and all that stuff. But
show aggression on the field.
Be aggressive. Yeah. You're still an aggressive person.
They've developed a losing culture there and a culture of zero accountability.
And Jarvis Landry said it the best. It's contagious.
Yeah.
That's contagious.
I mean, like I said, they're not developing players. How can you trade a player that had 2 years of development on a team that won one game, and you're going to call him out for, not finishing routes or whatever it is, when they've had nothing but a culture of losing? And watch Corey Coleman go to the Bills, and be a solid number two receiver, or hell, maybe even a number one receiver. Cultures of winning come within the organization from top to bottom. And if you don't have that, even on teams with bad years, the Packers last year did not go to the playoffs. Aaron Rodgers is out there yelling at his players, scolding them to the public, saying, "You need to be better."
They still won games with their backup quarterback.
Exactly.
That's a winning franchise.
And that's what the NFL is. I mean, next man up, I can't preach that enough. It is the NFL. It is the best of the best. We talk crap about players thinking, they're sorry, they're this, they're that. They're still the best of the best. There's a reason that they're out there.
Yeah, they're definitely better than your average human.
It's not like they're picking these guys up at a grocery store saying, "Hey, do you want to come play quarterback for us this week?" They're still elite athletes of their position.
Well, I mean, that's happened.
Yeah, Kurt Warner. No, that was Arena League. But there has been stories. So, yeah, I mean, the Browns, 7 wins would be lovely for them this year, but I'm not seeing it yet. I think there's too many new faces in that locker room.
Yeah, I just went back real quick to, the last 3 years in 2017, 0-16, 15, 1-15, and then 2014 went 3-13. So,
jeez,
it's been
4 wins in 3 years?
Yeah.
But Hugh Jackson's like,
they're averaging just over a win a year.
But still, just hoping for a decent year would be nice.
But
I think if they won 4, I think that would be a step in the right
absolutely.
Direction.
Absolutely. I'm like, double your wins. Get 2. Move in the right direction.
Well, double of zero is still zero. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. But, kind of talking about some of those rookie players, I kind of wanted to get your guys' input on some of these quarterbacks that you guys potentially think could be starting week one for their teams.
I don't really know that much about these starting quarterbacks and who's going to start and who's not. I think Josh Rosen, they said that he's going to get the nod at the start. I think Baker Mayfield is definitely not going to get the start. I think Tyrod Taylor is going to run that team. If he can't come out and win in those first,
I think he's got 4 games.
I think he's got four games, and he'll be good. But, yeah, I don't really know because I'm not really paying attention to the teams.
Yeah.
But from just listening to, ESPN and SportsCenter and stuff and hearing them talk about these guys, Rosen's really the only guy that I've heard them say good positive things about so far.
Rosen, I'm not sure. I think Bradford is going to get the start over Rosen to start the year. He's on a 1-year deal, who knows? He's probably going to tear an ACL walking into practice tomorrow, so I'll bite my tongue on that one. But the player that I look at with the best possibility to start week one would be Sam Darnold from the Jets.
Yeah,
and you look at a player like Josh Allen, he might get tossed in there because I've heard terrible things coming out of their camp about McCarron and Peterman. Peterman's the guy that threw five interceptions and one
Doug
half
Peterman
against the Chargers
or
last
Doug
year.
Doug Peterman or
no Nathan
Nate
Peterman.
Peterman. That's right.
Nate Peterman. Yeah,
some white name.
Yeah. So they, I've just heard that those guys have been playing terribly. So maybe Josh Allen does get the nod. I think you look at players like Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, you know, possibly Josh Rosen, who are you might see him sit the first few weeks. Joe Flacco's got a lot to prove, and that's not going to be an easy schedule for them this year. And I think that. You know, you talk about coaches being on the hot seat, and, you know, John Harbaugh, I don't think he's on a hot seat, but I think he understands how the NFL works, and it's not always just about winning games. It's about showing excitement to
keeping a fan base interested and stuff like that. Didn't the Steelers draft a QB?
They did later. But
yeah. But Ben Roethlisberger was in concussion protocol this week, so maybe that guy will get the week one. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know what their depth chart looks like. They probably
Big
have somebody
Ben's always hurt. I mean, they got a couple weeks to get everything situated. He should be fine come week one. The you know, the big one for me would be, you know, Sam Darnold, and if he gets a start over McCown and Bridgewater, he's got a lot to prove because those have been two guys that have come in and not necessarily dominated, but they've shown a lot of progress, and that's what the Jets need.
Yeah, let's move over to baseball. Dodgers dropped four straight. Bullpen just failed.
That's got to be tough. You go into Colorado and they had the lead in the ninth inning. Three times they lose.
Well, they lost their closer for the next
weeks. So Kenley Jansen, their closer, apparently has developed, I think it's a heart condition.
Yeah, he's had it tested multiple
times. Yeah, and so he's supposedly getting surgery on it, but there's talks that the Dodgers are still going to try to make him pitch in some bullpen capacity because he refuses to call it quits for right now. So he's willing to go back, and he said he's going to play in Colorado again.
Wow. And that's scary stuff. People don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Colorado's high altitude.
Oh, yeah. So
there's
individuals who have, like, sickle cell. They can't make the trip.
Yeah, that whole series put the Dodgers 1.5 games back into third place.
So the Dodgers are in third place in the division.
Yeah, so right now, with all that money and all that payroll, they could be on the outside looking in, and who knows? I mean,
the Diamondbacks have looked good, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think we all kind of knew Paul Goldschmidt was going to heat up at some point.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we just, you know, when we went over our, and I mean, I'm not going to lie, you guys picked the Dodgers. I wouldn't have done it. Me personally.
I still am not writing off the Dodgers.
I'm not writing
yet.
The Dodgers off, but it is interesting to see with the addition of Manny Machado that the team has taken a legitimate step back.
Hey,
and
like
obviously
we
the
said
loss
with the Browns, you know, the losing culture is contagious.
I mean, it just goes to show that it's hard to plug in a player, especially in baseball when you have nine players out there, you know, eight positional players. It's hard to plug in one individual, and unless it's somebody that you're adding like Barry Bonds, who's going to hit, you know, 60 home runs in a season, it's hard to see an immediate impact. So hopefully for the organizational standpoint, as a Padre fan, I hope they don't heat up. But from an organizational and a baseball fan, I hope they heat up to make things interesting.
Yeah, and it's funny you say, you know, when you bring a player in, you know, a lot of people think that baseball, where it is a team sport, it's more individualized because you're a position player.
And you see
but
statistics like that. I mean, when you're looking at analytics of the sport, you're like, this guy hit 70 home runs.
Yeah.
I mean, Barry Bonds was on a non-playoff team for half his career.
Yeah, but it still requires that team effort.
Absolutely,
and you can't just grab any guy and plug him in and think that they're going to mesh with your system.
I mean,
look
at Mike Trout. I mean, best player in baseball.
Well,
not close to winning a World Series.
We had this discussion when Justin Upton was on the Padres. He put up pretty solid numbers for the Padres, but they were all like solo shots.
Solo shot, yeah.
So they
Phil Nevin.
Phil Nevin.
Phil Nevin
you
of
put,
our team.
You can put up great numbers, but, you know, there's that clutch factor. There's hitting with runners in scoring position.
Yeah, there's so many numbers that go into baseball that are more important than the home run, the batting average, and
RBI.
The RBIs. Because, you know, you can have 30 home runs and you can have 35 RBIs. That's not fantastic. That's terrible.
That's a selfish player.
Yeah. I mean, and
I wouldn't call it selfish, but he just isn't hitting with runners on.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, and like Brandon's saying, it's the clutch factor. And not taking nothing away from Manny Machado, he's still having a wonderful year. But it's hard to plug in players and see an impact.
He actually still leads the Baltimore Orioles in RBIs. He's still the team leader right now. That's how sad it is right now over there.
Well, it's funny because I know our next little talking point is how the Red Sox are on, or, you know, they're on pace to potentially win 115 games and, you know, almost tie that record with the Mariners 116. But on the other side of that coin, the Orioles are on pace to lose 115 games. So that'd be ridiculous if you have that in the same division.
I think that's why you're seeing, you know, you're going to see two 100 team win teams in the AL East this year, because you have the Orioles are just awful, and then you have, you know, Toronto's just been awful too, at least until they get their young studs up.
And yeah, who knows what's going on in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, and I mean, taking nothing away from the Yankees, they're getting a lot of heat right now about being as far back from the Red Sox as they are. I believe it's 10 games.
Yeah, 10 and a half.
10 and a half games.
I think they're just
– and they're not playing bad baseball. I mean, they went out there and lost a few games to the Red Sox, you know, went – I think it was like 6 or 7 games back at the time. But again, another team that's on pace to win 100 games, and that's a huge. I mean, that's the goal for every team. They're going to make the playoffs. I'll be shocked if they don't.
And
oh no, they're for sure.
You're just hoping that they don't end up facing off against like Justin Verlander on the Astros. I think
they're three games up from the A's right now. I don't see them having an issue getting into the playoffs. But it is a bummer to have a 100 win season and have to play in a 1-game wild card.
Oh, talk to the Pittsburgh Pirates. They had won 100 games and then went to the and then they lost.
Yeah.
Yeah, my only thing with the Yankees right now is I know Aaron Boone is doing some interesting things. I just don't like to see him throw in the towel and throw these rookies in. I know he's been doing that a little bit lately, and it's kind of bugging me. So you want to give those your starters a rest and, you know, get more people playing time and stuff.
Yeah, you still got to get to the wild card,
though.
I think he knows his fate, though. They're going to be playing a wild card game. It's going to be so – I think the Red Sox are like 50 games over 500 or something ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, the Red Sox have the potential to be one of the best. This team has the potential to be one of the best
at least
in
regular
history.
Season.
Yeah.
Regular season
and,
teams.
I mean, you look at that pitching staff. I mean, that's going to be a hard win to go into Boston – and win a series. I mean, if they continue with their route, they're going to have home field advantage. And even if you take them 7 games, you know, you're going to be facing Chris Sale game 7 in Boston. That's a hard win for any team.
The Padres made some interesting moves this week, too, with Will Myers going down for 1 game, play third for 4 innings, come back up, start at third for a full game.
He's been at third ever since.
The only thing about that game that I thought was really funny was that Villanueva was playing first and he was playing third.
Yeah,
it was like, you guys just swap corners?
They just wanted to get him practice out there at third.
He did play good, I thought, but
you know, I don't knock Will Myers for any of this. I think that he's just playing the hand that he's being dealt, and they're trying to find a home for him. We have a very crowded outfield from the major league into our minor leagues. A lot of players they want to start seeing to get reps, and if we can find him a home at third, I mean, Villanueva's had a fantastic year, but I would much rather have Myers bat than Villanueva's in our lineup.
Yeah, I think we all would.
I just think Villanueva's not consistent enough. When you look at our organization, you see our faults. Not being able to find this guy a home in the last 3 years and him being your franchise player until Hosmer gets here. And, I mean, still to this day, we have yet to see Hosmer as really be our standout franchise player. You know, this is your guy.
Yeah,
Why is it so hard to find a home for him? He's just been hurt all the time, though.
That's been his problem.
I get it. They're trying to find a place where they can keep him.
He's so lanky. But he actually came up as a catcher and a third baseman in the minors for Tampa, I think.
I will say he did look very natural at third base.
He looked good.
He's a solid baseball player.
He actually had eight assists in that game, and the Padre record is 9 in a game.
Is this basketball now?
Yeah, right.
Talking about statistics here. But, no, I just think that from a management standpoint, you got to figure out what you're doing with these players. And for Will Myers to be going playing outfield to first base, back to the outfield, back to third base.
I hope he just stays at third, though, because we don't really have any – I mean, we have some guys that might be – fits down
the road.
Well,
there's been talks about Tatis moving from, I don't like the idea of it, but moving from short to third. I think he's a better shortstop than he is a third baseman. He's got incredible range. And if we can load our infield with Urias, Tatis, and have Myers and then Hosmer at the corners, I'm a happy Padre fan. That's lovely. Again, knocking the organization, not the player.
Yeah, you can't knock him. I mean, he's been an extremely good team player through all this. He's not throwing a fit.
There's players that come out like Manny Machado. He's like, I'm not playing third. No, I don't want to play third.
I think he knows that what he truly means. Like Will Myers being successful truly means the franchise.
Yeah,
and he's a big part of the team's plans moving forward.
Yeah, and I think I've knocked Will Myers in the sense of talking about how crowded our outfield has been. Possibly moving him if somebody were to be interested. But I think the idea of moving him to third base helps clear up some of that outfield chaos and maybe allows a player to be a little bit more durable through the duration of his career. But we'll see how the glove works. I mean, he's had no issues with the bat.
I know the Padres are heavily monitoring his throwing motion from third because it's not necessarily, his most natural position. But I've noticed most of his injuries are, he's fouling the ball off his foot or it's stuff like that where you're like, it didn't matter what position you're playing, you hurt yourself anyways. But it just seems like certain players find they're just more injury prone. It doesn't matter what it is. It's just...
Yeah, they just have the bug.
They have the bug. He's just finding them.
Yeah. I thought the other interesting fact about that game where he started at third base was Clayton Richards started that game and he's now pitched against all 30 major league teams.
Nice.
Pretty cool. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's not even our fun fact of the day yet.
Yeah. I know. I just had to throw that in there. But you guys want another fun fact? I wrote down another fun fact.
Is this why you were drinking and looking at people's small heads?
No, this was after. This was when I was drinking.
He was looking in the mirror when he saw the small heads.
I was like, man, my head's normal. But the Padres have the third highest batting average since August 1st in the majors.
Dude, they got hot for a while. I don't think you were here last week when I was discussing this, but Hedges, Margot, and Renfro have played phenomenal over the last few weeks. And, I mean, Hedges keeps it up, by all means. Maybe they find a place for Mejia in the outfield somewhere. But, I mean, his swing's come around. Maybe it's just taking him time. I know he developed a shorter swing in the offseason. His bat's been coming around. I mean, you can't ever fault this glove. Margot, Renfro with another grand slam. I mean, the dude,
Galvis hit it, right?
Renfro hit the one against the Brewers in the ninth inning.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I thought you said Margot hit the grand slam. Sorry.
No, Renfro with the grand slam against the Brewers in the ninth inning. I mean,
yeah.
It's not just, hitting well with runners in scoring position, that's one of the biggest parts of the game. If you're hitting 220 and you're batting 300 with runners in scoring position.
Margot's killing it with runners in scoring position, too. I mean.
Yeah, those three guys, if they can keep that up and if they can extend that into next year.
I think you're looking at, for sure, Margot's pretty much cemented himself as the center fielder of the team going forward.
And, with his glove enough, that's another guy where if he's not hitting fantastic,
it's okay. Makes up for it.
Yeah, because our outfield has a lot of ground to cover, and he covers every inch of that
The Padres have speed at a lot of positions.
Mm-hmm. And that's huge in the National League. When you're bunting and you're trying to steal and move players in a scoring position to account for the fact that your pitcher has to hit, you don't see it on the Yankees. Those dudes are all slugs out there, in my opinion. You don't have one single fast guy.
That's why the scores are
so
much higher, too.
Yeah.
So you got the guys y'all go yard.
Yeah, but last week, Brandon, when you were out, we did Padres MVP, who we thought that was. I said Jankowski, and since August 1st, he's 409.
Which is nice. He's awesome.
Yeah.
He would have been my early season pick. August, but
in that Angel
series,
August.
I know.
16th.
Yeah.
So.
But in that Angel series, he stole four bases.
Oh yeah.
I'm not taking anything away from him.
Well, he had that one game. He stole four. I was crossing my fingers. Pull off the record with the five that Damian Jackson had. I remember when I was a kid when I saw that.
But who would be your early pick for Padres MVP?
Oof, that is really tough.
I picked Villanueva, but that was more of a. He's been so much more productive than anybody thought he was going to be.
You know, I probably got to go with Clayton Richard. I think Clayton Richard would probably be my pick, even though I am not a huge Clayton Richard fan. He's just been...
He's still on our roster, so that says a lot.
That's what, that's what I'm saying. He's been arguably the most consistent guy on the roster, even though he's had lights-out outings. And,
he's been trade bait literally since they signed him.
And
so.
He's had some pretty awful outings. But for the most part, he's been one of the more consistent guys on the team. And he's the guy you every 5 days he's going to get the ball, and he's going to throw it, and he's gonna pitch 6-7 innings. If he lets off 4 runs, he lets off 5 runs, that's just a Clayton Richard start. If he goes, lets off 1, you know, that he has, you got to deal with the
highs and
lows.
He's had some
excellent
games this year.
So he would probably be my pick just because I know I can pencil him in every 5 days and I know what I'm getting.
Absolutely. You know, speaking of Padres pitching, we had, you know, Jacob Nix being called up past week or previous week.
Yeah, and he had a great outing.
6 scoreless innings, 4 hits, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts. I mean, it's exactly what you want to see from a guy in his first outing.
You know, in his first inning, he loaded up the bases, and I think Austin Hedges went out to him, and he asked him, you know, like trying to calm his pitcher down. Apparently, he's got really good mound presence, and he doesn't get rattled too easily. And so, you know, hearing that from your catcher, that's always a positive sign for a guy making his major league debut.
Over the weekend was the 100th PGA Championship, and Tiger looked bad.
Dude, I don't know if I've been this excited to watch a sport in the last year. I mean, I could name a few athletes. Babe Ruth, Wayne Gretzky, that they are so much bigger than their sport.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
LeBron James. I can't believe you forgot LeBron James.
I'm sorry.
He's your boy.
I was like passing over NBA. Michael Jordan, yeah. Bigger than NBA. I mean, Tiger Woods, I mean, their viewership for this PGA tournament went up 75%
just last year. He was climbing that ladder.
Dude, I mean,
he had an
I'm rooting so hard for his return.
He's been consistently playing well. I mean, he's not been cut from a tournament in the last several.
Yeah, and the most exciting part about watching this tournament was seeing him come back, you know, third, fourth day playing better than he did on that first round.
Absolutely.
And I think that's been his downfall. He plays a good first round, and then he tailors it, you know, then he falls
out.
It's
a signature Tiger. You get the fist pump. You get the excitement. I mean, golf is not an exciting sport to watch, and he makes it exciting. I don't get it.
Well, it's because he has passion in it. He plays with his heart on his sleeve. He knows that there's pressure on this putt, and he knows he can make it. And then when he makes it, he's like, I told you guys.
Yeah. No,
this is what I'm here for.
I mean,
he
is one of the guys that's bigger. And, like, congratulations to Brooks Koepka, for winning it. I mean, he played phenomenally.
He's having a year.
Yeah, and I really think, you know, people talk about, oh, Brooks Koepka is getting overshadowed because Tiger Woods is playing so well. I think that it's great for the sport of golf because, Brandon, do you know who Brooks Koepka is?
No.
Exactly.
I do not.
So I do not know who that is.
Seeing, well, I've heard his name recently,
you're hearing these people's names because Tiger Woods is drawing so much attention to the sport. I mean, 75% more than last year.
He's like Happy Gilmore. You just got to watch
it. It is. It's exactly what it is. I mean, he goes out there, and the other part that was just a funny statistic, on the back nine of the final round of the PGA tournament, he only hit 1 out of 9 fairways off of his first shot.
Wow.
So
that's
he
just
played
great
that
recovery.
Well out of the rough. Imagine when this dude starts hitting the ball in the fairway. I mean, dude, bigger than a sport. I'm so happy for Tiger. I mean, it's not easy to come back from a back injury like that. And for him to be lighting up the entire crowd.
Did you hear that story that came out about Tiger's caddy?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
I didn't hear
there's
it.
There's some fan heckling at one of the
tournament started this week, I believe.
Yeah, one of the recent golf tournaments, and this fan is he's like the fan from Happy Gilmore. He's heckling.
He's going after
him. And he ends up saying to his golf caddy, he's like, "Hey, you know," or he's asking him politely to you know, be quiet, and his golf the guy's response is, "I paid $25. You're gonna have to pay me $25 to keep my mouth shut." So they give him the $25, and he keeps heckling them. And then it went so far to the point that apparently they had security escort the guy out. But
his caddy essentially went to try to pay the guy off to shut up.
Yes. That's hilarious. Yeah.
But I mean, good publicity is going to bring in the chaos. So, I mean, I'm sure it's nothing that Tiger's not used to already.
I wonder if he got a trip to Red Lobster afterwards, though. That's the big question.
I don't know, but coming up, you know, there are some big golf tour like tournaments that are coming up. The Windman is this week. Northern Trust, August 23rd. Dell, BMW, and then the Tour Championship, September 20th, and then the Ryder Cup, one of the biggest ones, September 28th.
And then we talked about it last week, that Mickelson-Tiger Woods matchup.
Yeah, and that's coming, you know,
still
November.
Waiting to figure out the details about that, but stay tuned in November.
But yeah, if Tiger keeps it up like this, I mean, it's exciting.
It's just
to watch.
Exciting to watch, man. I mean, my grandpa's favorite golfer was Tiger Woods. Every time we go over to his house, we'd sit there and we watch golf, and I, you know, totally took it for granted as a kid. But he, I mean, just the fact that was, you know, a decade and a half ago, and he's still out there doing the same thing, man. I mean, props to the guy. You know, say what you want about him. You know, he's not a Tiger, he's a cheetah, whatever. But, I mean, he's got his family there with him now. He's turning a new leaf. He's been very impressive. So, tip of the cap to him.
Yeah, man, if Tiger can just keep playing good like that, and it just makes it so exciting to watch, like you said. And I just want to keep watching more and more golf tournaments
now.
Yeah,
hopefully we can get Brandon out there on the links so he can start appreciating it.
Hopefully Tiger can spark that golf fire under
you. I don't want to kill another person and make it too ambiguous in a podcast.
You have a good job now. Just go buy some clubs and start hitting some balls, man.
You've got 5 months to prepare. We have a
God.
Bachelor party, TPC Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be out there on the fancy course.
We're going to have our own tournament.
For anyone who doesn't know, we went to
Tecolote
Canyon, right? And we were hitting on one of the holes there.
It was the last hole.
And it was for Rollo's birthday, right?
Yeah,
it was
for Dean's dad's birthday.
Yeah, and we went there, and I shanked one of them, and the ball literally was –
it went through the golf cart.
It went through the golf cart that me and Dean were sitting in.
And it was about a foot away from your face?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, both of us. It went whoosh.
It was
right
one of the
by.
Scariest things that's ever happened to me
and,
on a golf course.
That was the last time Brandon golfed.
Yep.
Yes, I haven't gone golfing since. I don't plan on killing
anyone.
Now
we can just know to stand back and bring extra golf balls.
But, Brandon, you have our stat of the day this...
Stat of the day, stat of the day, dabba-dooba-doo, stat of the day, dat of the day. Here comes that what? Stat of the day. Bop!
Oh, yes. I had a few that I was trying to choose from, but...
Cool, you get one.
But, you know, in the spirit of fantasy football, I know fantasy football is actually, I think they just had the National Fantasy Football Draft Day or something like that earlier this week, I think it was, which I still think is way too early in the year to do it. So I wanted to throw some fantasy football stats that I thought were just kind of insane out there. But last year, so it's estimated that 59.3 million people played fantasy football last year. Now that seems like a lot of people, but of the U.S. population, that means 21% of the U.S. population plays it. But what's even more remarkable is in Canada that an average of 19% of Canada's population plays fantasy football, and they don't even have a professional like NFL team over there. So it's so big in Canada. And I also had – I'm going to throw this one out there anyways. It's a quick fit.
Ryan said you only get one.
So I'm going to throw this one out there too because I couldn't decide which one I liked more. So that the average annual fantasy football player football spend per player, so like per fantasy owner, is $653.
What?
In our league, buy-ins been $20
just
for
so
the
you
last
guys,
decade.
Yeah. So our fantasy league is upping our buy-in from $20 to $50
per person.
Yes, per person.
Which is still a good amount of money.
So player is worth more than what we even spend as a whole.
Yes, exactly. So $650, and I'm sure some of that's factoring into, you know, daily fantasy leagues
and
stuff like that. I'm sure that skews it a little bit,
like
but still $653. And not only that, I mean that nearly one-fifth of Canada's population is playing fantasy football. That's just
– Before we sign off, just so, you know, as we're gearing in towards fantasy football, we're going to have our draft coming soon. Dean, if you have the number one overall pick, who are you taking?
That'd be rough, but I think I'd have to go Todd Gurley.
Awesome. Brandon?
Todd Gurley was the best player in fantasy last year. I probably got to roll with him.
Awesome. Sounds good, guys.
Is this a consensus?
I would pick Todd Gurley, but in the past, the player that's always been the go-to
definitely.
Guy
gets hurt or something.
I can't touch him. Todd Gurley screwed me over 2 years ago, so I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. I'd probably pick David Johnson.
David Johnson's one of like my sleeper, non-sleeper kind of guy because he was injured last season.
Yeah, but
it was a hand injury, wasn't? Yeah.
The only player that I'm going to try my best to stay away from is Le'Veon Bell.
I'll take any of the big four.
My only issue with it is the contract. I mean, and I had him on my team last year, and you know, you saw him skip out on training camp and come after this totally slow start. And obviously, it's the longevity of it. But I think you see players like Kareem Hunt, Alvin Kamara, Melvin Gordon. Like, there's guys that'll get you spitting distance of the same points he's getting.
And,
you know?
If you have a late pick in your draft, are you taking? Are you going to take a risk on like a Saquon Barkley? If you have
if I'm picking lower end of our first round, I'm for sure taking Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, that's kind of
he's
going to
be the workhorse on that team this year.
That's kind of what I was thinking
Not to like you know go too deep into this, but you also have players like Leonard Fournette, Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, Le'Veon Bell's got a lot to prove this year, and he's going to be not just up against himself, but he's going to be up against.
It's always interesting to see, you know, what positions are so sought after in fantasy
in
the first round.
It's always running back, though.
But, you know, in the past, you see a lot of wide receivers go
and I've never understood
first,
that.
Too.
Well, because the wide receivers going first because there's not that belt. There's not a lot of bell cows.
Yeah, and
so you only
but this
have.
Is the, but this is the first year that
there's a bunch.
Ton.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's why I love this year in fantasy.
Yeah, I mean,
you really can't go wrong.
We haven't seen
first
a year
round.
Like this. I don't think we've ever seen a running like.
A
we're
group
seeing
that's
this,
out that
the
can
re-transformation
produce.
Of running backs going back into not a 1-2 punch, but a hey, we have our guy. This is our bell cow. This is the guy that's going to get us there.
It's,
so you're
it's cyclical.
Yeah.
That's kind of how sports are.
Oh, totally. It always comes back around. You know,
so they'll move back.
It's
towards
the read option in the NFL.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, but so that was us three amigos in a podcast. Brandon, we're glad that you could be back this week to make it.
I missed you guys.
Total three of us. And you can always follow us on Twitter at @3amigos_andapod. Listen to us on Podomatic, iTunes, and Podcast Addict, 3amigosandapodcast. Our website's still churning out stuff, 3amigosandapodcast.wordpress.com. And, of course, email us, 3amigosandapodcast@gmail.com. Said 3amigosandapodcast a crap ton right there, and I think I'm good with saying it.
I think you're going to remember that this is 3 Amigos in a Podcast.
Tongue twister. Yeah, I hope so. But everyone, thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.
Catch you next week, guys.
Catch you next week.